Married at First Sight. Chapter 4059. Tinsley hummed softly. After Elora signed off on the documents, Tinsley spoke up. "Sister, why don't you just get into a relationship? Neither of us has a boyfriend, and people outside are constantly trying to control us through marriage. You don't have to marry anyone, just date someone, or even fake it. That'll make them drop the idea." Elora looked up at her sister with a faint smile. "And what's your plan?" Tinsley shrugged. "I haven't even been in a relationship yet. They just see me as this unfeeling person who's impossible to control. If I were to date someone, they'd think I'm like any other girl falling in love, planning a future, maybe even getting married. But that would only make them push harder. Unless her boyfriend was powerful enough to make everyone think twice, with a family strong enough to rival the Ormonds, and he truly loved her without coveting their wealth, she didn't see a way forward. Power, status, wealth, and integrity, finding a man with all of that was almost impossible." Elora sighed inwardly. She didn't care for any of the so-called young talents in Annenberg. Every one of them wanted to marry into the Ormond family to advance their own interests. They all had the same ambition: marry her and gain control of the family empire. Marriage, after all, was often about mutual benefit. Elora could accept that, to an extent. But what she couldn't stand were the two-faced ones, those who spoke about mutual benefit while secretly plotting to seize the Ormond family's business. It didn't help that the Ormond family had too many daughters. That's just how society works. For all the talk about gender equality, the reality is still far from it. If she had an older or younger brother closer in age, the elders wouldn't have invested so much in grooming her. They wouldn't have expected her to take over. When she turned 20, her parents had a son. The family was overjoyed, calling it a blessing from above, as if the Ormond family had finally found its true successor. But what about her and her sisters? Weren't they descendants of the Ormond family too? How could anyone say the family had no successors? Elora loved her family and treated them well, but deep down, she knew the elders placed their hopes on her two younger brothers. Right now, her brothers were still young, and she was unmarried, so the elders didn't worry much. But in 10 years, they'd likely start involving the boys in the family business, preparing them to take over. Elora, however, had her own private ventures. She had no intention of monopolizing the family empire. She'd assured the elders repeatedly that once her younger brother was ready, she'd gladly hand over the reins. There was no need to fear her holding on to power. Her parents, however, were obsessed with her marriage prospects. The moment she even hinted at liking someone, they'd become overly critical, digging into the man's background, scrutinizing his every move, terrified he'd try to take over the family business. What man would willingly endure being treated like a potential thief by his in-laws? It was one reason Elora had no interest in dating. At 27, she was still young and in no rush to marry. She figured she'd wait. If the right person came along, she might consider marrying him, even if only on a contract basis. She wasn't hoping for a lifelong marriage. She wanted a relationship that would last a few years, maybe long enough to have a child. Even if they couldn't grow old together, at least she'd have a child to keep her company. That way, if the marriage failed, she wouldn't walk away with nothing. If she never met the right person, she wouldn't marry at all. "Tinsley, you're trying to bring Tatum up again, aren't you?" Elora's voice softened, but her knowing look pierced through her sister's intentions. She had seen it coming. From the start, Elora had always asked Tinsley if her feelings for Tatum were genuine. She had even considered helping Tinsley and Tatum get together. Married at First Sight, Chapter 4060. Chapter 4060. Now, the tables have turned. Elora had shifted her focus to bringing Tinsley and Tatum together. Whenever Tatum left, Tinsley seemed to appear right after, and it wasn't lost on Elora that her sister's timing often had something to do with him. If not for Tatum's unwavering loyalty, Elora might have suspected that he'd bribed Tinsley. Tinsley smiled slyly. When I came in, I saw Tatum heading out. He was very polite to me, with a gentle smile and respect in his eyes. It's so different from the way he looks at you, sister. I've noticed for a while now when Tatum sees you, there's something in his eyes, light, affection, and devotion. He's not just loyal to you. He adores you. Elora was left speechless. Tinsley continued with a playful grin, sister, I said it the first time I saw Tatum, he's no ordinary man. And I've always thought the two of you are a perfect match. You know me, sister. I've never joked about your relationships, but after meeting Tatum, I can't help myself. Now that I know his true identity, the sixth young master of the York family in Wiltspoon, I'm even more convinced. The York family is a billionaire dynasty, and though they're far from us, their reputation for integrity and tradition makes them a perfect match for our family. Sister, you'd be hard-pressed to find someone better than Tatum. He checks all the boxes for me. Elora replied with calm resolve, Tinsley, maybe you should consider starting a matchmaking business. Pairing up singles in Annenberg could be your new calling. But as for my love life, don't worry about it. I have it under control. No matter what the outside world thinks of us or how ambitious or cunning they may be, let them come. I'll handle it. I don't need to rely on anyone. Even though Tatum might seem like the perfect partner, Elora didn't want to secure the Ormond family's future through love or marriage. She wanted to stand on her own and crush every threat against her family with her own strength. That way, her enemies wouldn't just respect her, they'd fear her. Depending on a marriage to maintain power? That was a gamble she wasn't willing to take. What if the marriage failed? They always said it's better to rely on yourself than anyone else. The best option? Be strong. Tatum? He's fine. Let him be, Elora finally said, loosening her resistance to Tinsley's attempts at matchmaking. After spending so much time with Tatum and truly getting to know him, Elora couldn't deny feeling a little moved. But shifting her tone, she warned, "You should keep an eye on the Lab family. Their eldest son, Timothy, is about your age, isn't he? They'll likely start targeting you." Tinsley's expression darkened. "They look down on me." Elora smiled knowingly. "They've underestimated you. Use that to your advantage. Catch them off guard. It's a good thing for us." Tinsley's eyes gleamed with determination. "If they dare to underestimate me, I'll make sure they understand the consequences of doing so." The sisters exchanged a confident smile, their thoughts aligning as they analyzed the moves Mr. Lab might make. Meanwhile, Mr. Lab had already boarded a plane to Wiltspoon. In Wiltspoon, Carrie received word that the sponsor would be arriving in a few hours. She was instructed to prepare for his arrival. While shopping, Carrie silently cursed Mr. Lab, muttering to herself about the old pervert. Even as she grumbled inwardly, she wore a cheerful facade. There was one upside to his visit. By playing her cards right, she could butter him up, coax a little extra cash out of him, and maybe even get him to buy her the expensive jewelry and handbags she had been eyeing but couldn't afford. Married at First Sight, Chapter 4061. Chapter 4061. The spring blossoms wasn't far, so Carrie decided to pay it a visit. Now that she carried the title of Mrs. Lab, she couldn't exactly destroy the shop, much to her dismay. When she arrived, Cameron wasn't in the store, only her two employees were there. Carrie asked nonchalantly, "Where's your boss?" One of the employees replied with a polite smile, "Our boss is very busy. Most of the time, it's just the two of us managing the store. She only comes in when she's free." "Are you looking for her, Mrs. Lab?" The employees recognized Carrie from her previous visits as Mrs. Lab. "Not really," Carrie said casually. "It's just that the last time I came to buy flowers, your boss was here. I didn't see her this time, so I was curious. Anyway, help me pick out two pots of fortune trees. The ones at my place aren't doing well, so I want to replace them. The large villa where Carrie lived now did have fortune trees, ones she had bought herself. They were thriving under proper care, a symbol of her supposedly good fortune. And, truth be told, her financial situation wasn't bad. The lab name ensured she was well provided for. Still, Carrie figured she could use a little extra luck. She thought to herself, the better my fortune, the more money and benefits I can squeeze out of that old pervert. One day, when he doesn't need me anymore, I'll take my savings and disappear, never worrying about money again. Of course, the employee responded enthusiastically, selecting two lush and vibrant fortune trees. Would you like more fortune trees, Mrs. Lab? You could buy a couple more. Ours are in excellent condition right now. The employee added, before the new year, we had a lot of customers buying fortune trees and lucky bamboo. Fine. Add two lucky bamboo trees as well, Carrie said nonchalantly. A few extra plants didn't cost much, and she wasn't worried about the money. But knowing her purchase benefited Cameron left a sour taste in her mouth. Suddenly, Carrie asked, is your boss pregnant? Caught off guard, the employee answered, no. She's mentioned she's not in a hurry to have children. She wants to enjoy a few years of just the two of them first. Cameron's struggles with pregnancy weren't something she had shared with her staff. Since she and Callum had been married for a while with no children, she simply explained to others that they were prioritizing their busy schedules and enjoying life as a couple. It sounded sweet and practical. These days, many young couples delayed having children, so the employees didn't think much of it. But Carrie smirked and leaned in slightly, her tone dropping to a conspiratorial whisper. Is she really not in a hurry, or is she unwell? I heard your boss was poisoned before and was blind for 10 years. Sure, her eyesight is cured now, but who's to say the poison didn't damage her body and affect her ability to have kids? Though her words were laced with schadenfreude, they were delivered subtly enough that the employee didn't catch the malice. The employee replied matter-of-factly, I don't think so. And even if there were lingering effects, Dr. Carden would help her. She's a renowned doctor, apparently a direct disciple of a miracle worker, and she's an expert in both medicine and poison. She's incredibly skilled. The employee added confidently, if there are any toxins in our boss's body, Dr. Carden can remove them. Besides, the boss and the second young master are both extremely busy. She's constantly traveling to handle company matters. Under those circumstances, it's not ideal to have a baby anyway. She's still young, the employee continued. There's no rush. Successful people often wait to have children until they've reached certain milestones in their careers. By the way, Mrs. Lab, do you have children? The question caught Carrie off guard. Married at First Sight, Chapter 4062. Chapter 4062. To the assistant, this Mrs. Lab seemed far too young. Carrie gently placed her right hand on her stomach, sighed softly, and said, I was pregnant once, but it wasn't a healthy pregnancy. I lost the baby. My husband told me to focus on recovering and wait a few years before trying again. We're still young, after all. The assistant offered comforting words while helping Carrie select two pots of fortune trees and two pots of money trees. After completing her purchase, Carrie gestured to her bodyguards to move the trees she had bought. Before leaving, she handed her business card to the assistant and said, when your boss comes back, or if Madame York stops by, please give me a call. I'd like to arrange a meeting with one of them, but it's been hard to get in touch. The assistant glanced at the card and replied, Madame York is pregnant and rarely visits. She's mostly at home resting and focusing on her pregnancy. If our boss returns, I'll let you know, Mrs. Lab. But wouldn't it be easier to call her directly? You should have her contact number. Carrie responded with a polite smile, Miss Newman and I aren't that close yet, and I know how busy she is. I feel awkward calling her, what if she doesn't answer? The assistant nodded. Understood, Mrs. Lab. I'll let you know if she stops by. After Carrie left, the assistant turned to her colleague and remarked, Mrs. Lab seemed a little off today. Don't you think her voice sounds a lot like the boss's troublesome sister? They do sound similar, the colleague agreed. If it weren't for their different faces, I might have thought they were the same person. She's probably just trying to cozy up to the York family. Mrs. Lab's in-laws don't have much of a reputation here in Wiltspoon. I've never heard of them. If she wants to fit into the boss's circle, she'll have to build some connections. Our boss is the second young lady of the York family and the eldest daughter of the Newman family. She has both influence and status. It's no surprise people want to align themselves with her. I think Mrs. Lab is more interested in impressing the eldest young lady. Trying to get close to our boss might just be a side benefit. Well, the eldest young lady is poised to become the head of the York family one day. It makes sense to want her favor. But honestly, our boss is nothing short of remarkable, too. She's the best in my eyes. Same here, the other assistant agreed. The two employees had been with Cameron since the early days of spring warmth and blossoms. Over the years, they'd witnessed her journey from enduring Carrie's bullying to receiving Callum's unwavering support, regaining her vision, and finally establishing her place in the York family. It hadn't been an easy road for Cameron. They admired her deeply and felt a sense of loyalty. Working under Cameron not only gave them pride but also ensured they were well compensated. In fact, among all the flower shop employees in the city, their salaries were the highest. Many people dreamed of joining Spring Warmth and Blossoms, but Cameron's standards for hiring were strict, and only a few made the cut. The two assistants cherished their jobs, knowing they'd worked hard to earn Cameron's trust. Recently, she'd mentioned plans to open a second branch and promised to promote both of them to store managers. The future looked bright. I'm going to call the boss and let her know about Mrs. Lab's visit, one assistant said. She also asked if the boss was pregnant. That question felt strange to me, too abrupt. The assistant took out her phone and dialed Cameron. She relayed every detail about Carrie's visit, including what she bought and the questions she asked. Cameron listened quietly and finally said, as long as she isn't causing trouble, treat her like any other customer.